Amen.
When I was working at Lifeway, I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and I worked at Lifeway Church Resources, and while I was working there, I read an article, just kind of randomly, I read an article in a magazine about a guy who was blogging, and I don't know, some of you guys are too young to know what blogging is, but it used to happen. There used to be these people who would write a little short, article or whatever, several times a week on the internet. So that's what blogging was. Maybe you've heard of it. But there was this guy who was blogging, and he had this blog. It was called thehomelessguy.com. And it was a guy who was literally homeless, and every day he would go into a public library, and he would blog about the experiences, the challenges that a person has when they're homeless. And so I heard about this, and I thought, well, sounds fascinating. I would like to hear from a person who's actually in the middle of a situation like that talk about it. And so I did. I went onto this guy's blog, and I just totally got sucked in. He was articulate. He was wise. He had all of these amazing things to say and talked about the challenges that homeless people face. And I read blog after blog after blog. I went all the way back through the history, and I was reading all this stuff. Well, after a bit of time on this guy's blog, reading it, I started to figure out that he was in Nashville. He was very careful not to give up his location, okay? But every now and then, something would slip, and I would recognize it. I'd be like, well, I think this guy's in Nashville. And the more I kind of read, the more I became convinced that he was in the same town that I was. In fact, the public library that he was blogging from was a couple of blocks from where I worked. And so I sent him an email, and I was like, look, I don't want to creep you out, okay? But I've been reading your blog, and I know that you're in Nashville, and I just want to take you to lunch. Would you just let me buy you lunch? I just want to take you to lunch, and I just want to listen to you talk. Can we do that? And it took him a couple of weeks to get back to me. And when he did, he had a bunch of questions, and I answered all of them. But finally, he agreed to go to lunch with me. We went to lunch together, and I sat down across the table from this guy and had one of the most amazing and profound conversations of my life. Just an incredible guy, incredibly gifted, incredibly intelligent man who mental illness in his life would just take over and would cause him to be alienated from all of the people that he cares about and from everyone that he was connected to. And it would just drive him into these cycles of homelessness. And it was just an amazing conversation. I wish I could sum it up for you. I wish all of you could have a conversation like that with someone who's in that situation, because it really changes your perspective. But here's the thing. I don't know what it's like to be homeless. I've never been homeless. But I do know what it's like to feel untethered, right? To feel like I don't belong emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I know what it's like to feel like I don't have a place. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why my conversation with him resonated so much, because as we talked, I began to realize that there were a lot of ways that we were actually similar, that we felt a lot of the same things. And I think that there's probably some folks who are here this morning, or maybe you're watching on the live stream, and maybe that's how you feel this morning. Maybe you feel a little bit untethered. Maybe you feel like you're just kind of drifting. Maybe you are wondering if there's a place where you belong or where you fit in. And I don't know what circumstances in your life have led you to that point. Maybe you feel alienated from your family right now. Maybe your relationship with your spouse is in trouble and it's fallen apart. Maybe your relationship with your children or your relationship with a parent is really struggling right now. Whatever it is, it's made you feel alienated, right? It's made you feel alone. It's made you feel unmoored a little bit. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that God has brought you to the exact right place, because there's some truths from Scripture that you need to hear this morning. We've been, for the past 6 weeks, we've been in Psalm chapter 23, and we've been in a series called Overflow. And so what we've been doing is we've been listening to the psalmist talk about the amazing, unimaginable, unmeasurable, unfathomable grace of God. how the grace of God, God's mercy and love can overflow in our lives. And the 23rd Psalm is a confident psalm. That means that the psalmist, probably David, the one who wrote this psalm, he's talking about how he's talking about this joy and this security that he's found in his relationship with God. And here's the thing that I want for every person to hear this morning. This is really important. That same joy and that same confidence that the psalmist was talking about when we read that passage earlier this morning, that same joy and that same confidence is available for you this morning if you will trust God. It's available for all of us. And so if you feel untethered this morning or alone or alienated this morning, you need to know that God's message for you this morning is that His mercy, His love, His grace, His acceptance is available to you if you just trust Him. And so today we're going to be looking at the last verse in Psalm chapter 23, Psalm 23:6. And so I want us to focus on that passage of Scripture, and I want us to read it one more time. So open your Bibles. If you have your phone, the Bible app on your phone, you can open that up. And actually, if you go to events on your app, it'll take you to you can find the notes for this message today. And there's some extra stuff in there. But look at Psalm 23, verse 6. This is what it says. Listen to this. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's word for you and I this morning. And so as we look at this passage and as we dig into it, here's what I want for you to understand. Here's what I want us to be thinking about. Because of who God is, and this passage says a lot about the character of God, the nature of God. Because of who God is, there are some things that are true about me and you this morning that I think are going to be really profound for us to think about. And they're things that you need to hear. They're things that I need to hear this morning. The first thing that we're going to get from this passage that's true of you and I this morning is this. You are relentlessly pursued. You are relentlessly pursued. I don't know if you guys, like, I'm a nerd, okay? So I like to watch National Geographic, okay? I like to watch all the animal documentaries. I've always liked it. Even when I was a little kid, I loved to watch the animal documentaries. And one of my favorite things is to watch, like big cat predators in action. Like, I used to love to watch lions, you know, in action as they're hunting their prey and stalking their prey. And I'm telling you, watch lions in action, a pride of lions, like, chasing down their prey. And, I mean, it is a sight to behold. It makes me think how terrifying it would be to be stalked or be hunted by a big, you know, animal like that, a predator like that. But here's something that you may not have known. In Jesus' day, right, and in the time of the Old Testament, whenever David was writing this psalm, lions existed. They lived actually in the Middle East where Israel was. And so for a shepherd, right, which David was when he was younger, for a shepherd to talk about lions, right, they knew all about it. They'd experienced lions, right? And in fact, we talked before about how David was talking about his rod and his staff and how David talked about how he had used that club, right, to rescue the lambs that were in his charge from lions and from bears. Remember we talked about all of that? So David knew all about what it meant to watch a lion at work, to be even stalked or hunted by a lion. And once a lion took off after one of his sheep, that sheep could zig or zag or whatever it wanted, but the lion was bearing down on that sheep relentlessly, and there was no escape. Y'all, the word that's used that we translated here, pursue, right? Some of your scriptures may say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me, right? It's a terrible translation. The word that's being used here is the same word that a person would use to describe a lion chasing down its prey. I need you to hear that. When the psalmist is talking about the love of God pursuing us, that's the language that he's using. And you need to know that language, that's what the psalmist wants you to know about the love of God. It's not just following you, it's chasing you down, it's pursuing you. Now listen, you and I also know what it's like. We have a real enemy in our world who's also pursuing us. who's also chasing us down, who's trying to steal and to kill and destroy us. And you don't need for me to tell you that. Some of you know exactly what that feels like today. You know what it feels like to be attacked, to feel like you're under attack, to feel like you're running for your life. Some of us know exactly what that feels like. And we're experiencing it in our lives, even this morning. But you know what's also true? The love of God is bounding after you in the same way. The love of God is chasing you down in the same way. And yes, man, our enemy, he's coming after us to steal and to kill and to destroy and to bring violence on us like a predator. But the love of God is pursuing us for some really different reasons. God is pursuing us, first of all, with goodness. That's what the psalmist says. We've already seen in Psalm 23 how God is compared to a shepherd, how his role, his function, his character is to provide for us, to care for us, to lead us into peace. His desires for us are good. God is good. God's plans for us are good. God's goodness is chasing after us. And even when evil seems to overtake us, even when evil seems to run us down, God's love is bounding after us. He is chasing us down. But don't believe me. Don't believe me. Listen to the word of God. In Romans chapter 8, Paul has just finished talking about this glorious thing that God is doing in creation, where his redemption has come for each of us. And he gets down to verse 28 in Romans 8, 28. And this is what he says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. What he's saying is, it doesn't matter if evil has chased you down. It doesn't matter if it feels like evil has overtaken you. Here's what you need to know. God's love is coming after you, and God's love always wins. He will take even your pain, even your heartache, even your suffering, and he will turn it into good because his goodness is chasing you. God is pursuing you and I with goodness. And that's something I believe we all need to hear. But listen, can I ask you a question? Why is it, even though God is chasing us down with his goodness, why is it that we run from good? Why do we do that? Well, we do it all the time. We run away from good people. We run away from Christian community. We run away from the things of God. We do this all the time. Some of us this morning, if we're being honest, in a moment of honesty, we might say, yes, today even, I am actively running away from God. I'm actively moving away from God. And that's the truth about where we are. If you're there this morning, and if you had to admit that this morning, I want you to know you're not alone. I've been there before. I have run from good things. I've run from the goodness of God, from the love of God. I've run from it. And I know what that's like. I know what it feels like. I also know where it leads, friends. But what I want for you to know this morning is, run all you want. You will not outrun God Almighty. You cannot outrun God Almighty. You can't zig enough. You can't zag enough. God's love is chasing you down. And believe me, whoever God chases, God catches. And he's coming for you. And I want you to hear that this morning. The best thing that you and I could do, if we're actually being pursued by the goodness of God, the best thing that you and I could do this morning would be to stop running. Pastors will talk all the time. They'll say, just turn around, move toward God, right? They'll be like, just move toward God, walk toward God. You know, they'll talk about redemption in those ways. Can I just tell you this morning that you don't have to turn, you don't have to walk toward. The only thing you have to do is stop. Just stop running, because God's love is coming after you. And if you would just stop running this morning, I'm telling you, his love will overtake you. His goodness will overtake you. His goodness is chasing you down. That's good news for you and for me this morning. God's pursuing us with his goodness, but he's also pursuing us with unfailing love. He's pursuing us with unfailing love. Man, I read those words, and it's so encouraging to me to think about that. I love that it's unfailing love, that there's nothing that I can do, right? There's nothing that I can do to convince God to not love me. There's no way that I can cause God to not chase after me with unfailing love. There's no way that I can do that. His love doesn't even depend on me or my faithfulness at all. His love is chasing me down just because that's who He is. That's who He is, and that's what He does. And so His love is coming for you this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what shameful thing you've done, no matter how you've hurt other people, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done this morning. God's unfailing love is relentlessly chasing after you this morning. That's the truth of the gospel. That word that's translated here, unfailing love, guess what it can also be translated as? Commitment. Commitment. Man, I love that. I love that. Let me tell you why. My meemaw and my papa, okay, my mom's parents, they were married for over half a century, okay? They met. My granddad was an oil guy, and he came from the McKinney family. The McKinney family were a bunch of crazy, wild-eyed, wild-living people, okay? That's where my granddad came from, okay? And when he was a young man, he was that. He was a wild man. In fact, my grandmother's parent mom was telling her all the time, don't mess with those McKinney boys, man. They're crazy. That's what they told her, right? But that's who my granddad was. My grandmother had an alcoholic father. He was in and out of her life all the time. And she grew up with that. She already, when my grandmother met my granddad, she already had a child. And they met, and let me tell you something, they each had all kinds of baggage, y'all. They each brought all kinds of baggage into their relationship with each other. They weren't perfect people at all. And there was plenty of things in their lives when they came together that could have driven them apart. But when they came together with commitment. They came together committed to one another, and every day they lived out this commitment to one another. And we watched that as their grandkids and as children. Like, we watched them live out every day, steadfastly, unfailingly committed to one another. And it was a beautiful thing. And y'all, that's what, you know, I talk to you guys a lot of times, and actually we're going to start a series next week on relationships and marriage. You know, one thing that you need to know is that those of us who are married here, in our marriages, our calling in our marriages is to paint a picture of the love of God in our relationship with our spouse. That's what we're supposed to do. And I'm telling you, my grandparents, that's what they did every day for their entire married lives together. I love it because sometimes when we talk about unfailing love, when we talk about love in our culture, we mean like butterflies in the pit of our stomach, right? Or that flushed feeling you get whenever that special someone walks into the room. Some of you teenagers in the house, you know what I'm talking about, because that happened to you this morning when you walked into church and you saw that guy or girl and you're like, oh, my, so, you know, I'm glad that you said that. Yeah. I mean, the girls mainly. The guys weren't doing that. They were trying to be tough and stiff upper lip in it. But you know what that's like when you're walking down the hall and you pass that person and you're like, I don't know what to say. You know exactly what that's like. And that's great. Those are good things, man. Those are amazing things. I love that feeling. Look, I've been married to my wife for 27 years. There's still plenty of times where Amy evokes that kind of feeling in my heart. I'm just telling you. But here's the thing. That's beautiful stuff. But it's not even the most beautiful thing about relationships. It's not even the most beautiful thing about being married. The most beautiful thing about being married is unfailing love, steadfast commitment. The most beautiful thing about my marriage is that when I was at my worst, when I had done the worst possible things that I could come up with, when I had wounded my family, when I had wounded my wife looked me in the face and said, I'm not going anywhere. I love you. Steadfast commitment. That's the most beautiful thing. And I want you to hear something this morning. If you don't hear anything else, that's the way God Almighty loves you. He's not going anywhere. You can't make Him quit chasing you down. His love is coming for you. Is that not amazing news to hear this morning? Is it not? God is pursuing you with unfailing love. But this is, listen to this, God is pursuing us and he won't stop. He won't stop. I don't know if you heard that in this, in the passage, but surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. How long? All the days of my life. All the days of my life. Y'all, one of my favorite songs, there's this band that I like, okay? And they're called The Killers, okay? Don't judge me. They're a really good band. Their name is, they're not really killers. They just called themselves that. They're a great band. And they have this song called Rut, okay? It's my favorite song by The Killers. It's called Rut. If you're looking in your YouVersion, in the YouVersion notes, there's actually a link to the song in there. The song is about the lead singer's wife's struggle with depression. And the chorus of the song says, don't give up on me. I'm just in a rut. I'm climbing, but the walls keep stacking up. And y'all, that's what it feels like sometimes for a person who's struggling with mental illness or someone who's struggling in their life. Like, everybody feels like they're on the verge of quitting you. It's not easy to love someone who's going through something really painful and really difficult, or who's dealing with something painful and difficult in their life. And when you're going through it, you're afraid. At any moment, right, the people closest to me might bail. Because it's, I get it, it's hard. And so you feel like you're begging everyone around you, please stay, please don't leave. I'm getting through this. I will get through it. Things, I will come through on the other side. Please don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. Some of you have spent your entire life living like that. Always saying, please don't give up on me. I promise I'm not going to be here forever. I promise I will get better. Please don't give up on me. And you've been begging the people closest to you your whole life not to give up on you, not to leave you. I get that. It's a terrible place to live. And what you need to hear this morning is that the Lord God Almighty, who spoke the heavens and the earth into being, whose words caused the cosmos to spring into existence, the Lord God Almighty loves you, and he's not going anywhere. He is with you. He is for you. You cannot make him quit loving you. He will pursue you, and he will never, ever stop. You are relentlessly pursued this morning. And I need you to hear that. But you're not just relentlessly pursued, friends. You are radically claimed. Radically claimed. Look at the end of this verse. It says, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. That's what the psalmist says. I will live in the house of the Lord. Some of your translations may say dwell, and dwell is a great word, abide, right? That's a great word because it means to set up, it literally means to build a shelter, to build a tabernacle, to dwell, right? To abide, to live in, right? That's what that word means. And the psalmist is saying, I'm gonna live in the presence and in the favor of God forever and ever. That's what he's saying. He's confident of it. He's not questioning it. He's not, maybe I'll get to live. That's not what he says. He says, I will live in the presence of God forever. That's what he says. That word that's translated live there, it can also be translated return to dwell. It can mean return to live. And so there's a sense in all of Psalm 23 where you get this kind of pattern. You get this cycle of dark valleys and of deliverance and of dwelling. You can see that happening in this psalm. And so you and I can relate to that. I don't know about you, but I can certainly relate to that. I sometimes live in that cycle. I'll veer away from God's plan for me. I'll end up in a ditch. God delivers me. I return to live in his presence, and then I walk away again, right? And then he has to deliver me again. Some of us are in that cycle right now, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But the truth this morning from God's word, the truth this morning is that we are invited back. We're invited back. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter how far we've drifted from relationship with God. God welcomes us back. And what's implied, too, is that we can have a permanent dwelling place with the Lord. It's a sense of constantly living within the provision of God, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are. My oldest daughter is 21, okay? And when she was 13, By the time she was 13, listen to this, we had lived in 7 different towns by the time Carson turned 13. When, from kindergarten to 7th grade, she had been to 6 different schools. I mean, we moved around a lot, y'all. And some of that moving was the result of, you know, kind of tumultuous times in our family, like career changes or big life changes, and some of it was a result of that. But so it's easy in that situation to kind of feel untethered, right? To feel unmoored, to feel like you don't belong anyplace. And so Amy and I, we wanted to work really hard with Carson and with Sadie when Sadie was younger to create this sense of home, right? Wherever we were, home was our family. It was our people. And our relationships with one another, that's what home was. And we wanted to create that for them. We wanted for them to feel that way. And we were more successful sometimes than other times at doing that. But we wanted for that to be the case. And I want you to hear that's one way to see what the psalmist is describing here. That's kind of sort of what he's saying. He's saying we live in the house of the Lord no matter where our lives take us. We're part of his household. Wherever we go, wherever we end up, whatever life kind of throws at us, we are a part of the Lord's household. And that's really important because we've been talking all the way through Psalm 23 about how the psalmist keeps talking about how the favor of God has been bestowed upon us. God's not just chasing us down with his love. What he wants to do, he wants to invite us into his family. He wants to cause his name to dwell on us, to cause his presence to dwell within us and over us. Like, that's what God's doing. And so when we talk about the fact that we've been radically claimed, what the psalmist is saying is he's made us a part of his family. He's claimed us as his own children. And we don't deserve that. There's nothing about us that would cause us to deserve to be invited into the family of God, to be seated at the table of God. Nothing about us that deserves that. But God in his grace has chosen to do that. And his presence, his favor will go with us no matter where we go. Wherever we go, wherever circumstances we find ourselves in, we can be home with the Lord God. And so this morning, if you're in a really dark or painful place, if you feel all alone wherever you are, what I want you to know is that the Spirit of God is chasing after you. The love of God is chasing after you. And this morning, you can come home. You can be home even in the midst of your heartache, even in the midst of your sorrow, even in the midst of the darkness. The darkness is not even dark to God. It's like light to him. And you can be home this morning in his presence. And that's good news. That's good news for you and I. Because of God's unfailing love and goodness, because of his care for us as our good shepherd, we can have confidence this morning that we belong in him. Christ is our home. Christ is our home. Somebody needs to hear that today. So listen. Can I just, as your pastor, can I just lovingly say to you, can I beg you this morning as your pastor, please come home. Please. Wherever it is that you have wandered this morning, wherever it is that you find yourself, wherever it is that you have gone, coming home does not have to mean embarking on some long journey back. That's not what God is asking of you this morning. That's not what he's promising you this morning. Coming home this morning can just mean stop. I'm just going to sit down where I am and wait and expect for the love of God to overtake me. Look, if you'll just stop running from the Lord this morning, home will come to you. And I just want to ask you this morning, would you be willing to do that? Would you have the courage this morning to just stop? Come home. Find your place in Christ. Surrender yourself to the Good Shepherd this morning. He's chasing after you with all of the energy and all of the strength and all of the power that he has. He's chasing after you this morning. And he wants to make your home in him. What that requires of you and I, it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. There's not a whole lot of hoops to jump through. There's not a whole lot of rules to adhere to before you can experience it. That's not the way the Lord God works. That's not the way his love works this morning. If you want to find your home, your peace, in the presence of Almighty God, all you have to be able to do is say this morning to God, God, I need you. Please forgive me. Please rescue me. I give all that I am to you. If you would have the courage this morning to surrender yourself to the God who loves you, he'll cause his name to dwell on you. He'll invite you into his family. He will seat you at his table. He'll anoint your head with precious oil. That's who our God is. That's what he does. And that's how he loves you. So our worship team is going to come up. They're going to sing a song about what it means to just rest in the presence of God. And as we in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing those words with them. But listen, this is not singy time. I mean, I want us to sing because these words are powerful. But I want you to sing these words as a prayer to God. If you would say to the Lord God, I want to sit at your feet. I want to drink from the cup in your hand. I want to lean back against you and breathe and feel your heartbeat. If you would say that to the Lord God this morning, if you would just stop running and allow the presence of God to envelop you this morning, I promise you, he'll answer that prayer. He'll come to you. And as we sing, I want to challenge you to do that. If you need someone to pray for you, right over here, right at this door, there's a sign. It says, how can I pray for you? We have a team of people who have committed this morning. They came this morning because they want to pray for you. If you need someone to pray for you, head right to that door over there. Someone will meet you at that door, and they'll take you out of the hallway where it's a little quieter, and they can pray with you. But don't miss this opportunity. If you need someone to pray for you, do that this morning. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, if you want to know what it means to say to the Lord God, God, I need you. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. If you need help with that, I'm going to be standing right down here at the front, right here at my seat. Just come over to me. Let me help you. Let one of our prayer team help you. Don't leave this place without experiencing the power and the presence of God. Look, if we walk in and out of here every week and we never experience the power and the presence of God, what are we doing? Why else would we come here this morning except for we expect that the power and the presence of God will meet us here? And his power and his presence and his love, they are here this morning. They are chasing you down. Would you be willing to experience it? Would you have the courage to opening yourself up to experience it this morning? I'm begging you to do it. Stand up. Let me pray for you. Father, please, God, please, I pray for every person in this room. I pray for the men and the women and the boys and girls in this room this morning who they have been coming to church. They know all about religion. They know all about church, right? They've been doing that stuff. But God, there's some of them in this room this morning. They don't know what it's like to experience your love. They don't know what it's like to surrender to your love. And I pray this morning will be the day. I pray today will be the day that they finally stop running, that they finally just sit down and ask you, Lord God, to overtake them. I pray that you would give them the courage and the strength to do that today. I know that there's someone in this room who's never done that. Would you cause that to happen for them? Would you give them the courage to surrender themselves to you? And God, for those of us who've just been on the run, Lord, for those of us who've just been on the run from you, God, help us to stop. Help us to come home. Help us to surrender to your presence. Do your work, Lord God, in our hearts. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray.